If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
You're listening to the Laugh Button Podcast on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Laugh Button Podcast here on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com. I am your host and editor-in-chief of the Laugh Button, Matt Kleinschmidt. How is everybody doing today? I hope you're feeling good. It's a great week. The weather is awesome. There's specials premiering all over the place. It's a good time. To add to the good time, we'll bring you a very special episode of the podcast. That's what we're calling. We're calling a very special episode of the podcast, which features the one and only John Glazer. Now, if you guys aren't familiar with John Glazer, it's unfortunate because he is a delight. And what I mean by a delight, he has one of the most fun and wackiest sensibilities about himself. He's put out some of my favorite comedy television shows of all time with Delocated, his new one, John Glazer Loves Gear, but we're here to talk about his project called Neon Joe Werewolf Hunter. Now, if you've never heard of Neon Joe Werewolf Hunter, it's starting its second season on May 22nd on Adult Swim, and if it sounds like it should be a show on Adult Swim, the answer I'm giving you guys is absolutely. It is a show that belongs on Adult Swim. It's pretty much in the title, exactly in the title, and basically, we get into this in the interview, but it basically starts from John made an appearance on late night television in the character of Neon Joe Werewolf Hunter, and basically, Adult Swim said, we like that. That looks like something we put on the air. So they basically said, hey, we challenge you to make a show based on this. So John kind of rounded up all his friends and all his collaborators and stuff and put together this show called Neon Joe Werewolf Hunter. So it's just as wacky and crazy as it seems. We kind of get a little bit into what season two is all about, figure out where we left off at season one, and kind of get into the madness. And it's actually, they're doing something very fun with this new episode. They're basically premiering the show on a Monday night, and then they're running all five episodes consecutively on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So you can binge watch the entire season in a week, and they're doing that over the course of 5 weeks. So you can basically get your Neon Joe Werewolf Hunter fix, you know, pretty much nightly for the next 5 weeks, starting May 22nd into the next 5 weeks. And Adult Swim upfronts are next week, and John's in town doing some stuff for that. They're actually having a special fan screening over in Brooklyn where fans can show up and get comic books. It's actually really, really fun. But check John's Instagram, you can get all the information about that. So yeah, we brought John into the Riotcast studios and sat him down, had him for about a half hour, and just kind of like picked his brain about what he thinks of the show, how he comes to be, and how basically shows like this, and you know, and then it also kind of goes into further things like his appearances on Parks and Recreation, his appearances on Girls, his appearance on Amy Schumer show too, because John's been working, you know, steadily writing for TV shows and writing his own stuff for many, many years. He kind of got a start in like the alt scene that he doesn't like calling the alt scene. So he sits down and we kind of talk about it. We basically go into some of his other projects, what's going on with the new season of John Glazer Loves Gear, talk a little bit about Delocated, one of the funniest, most random TV shows that like I ever saw, and I just like love the whole idea of it. It's basically the idea of a guy who is in the witness protection program, but he gets to be on a reality TV show. So he basically does the entire reality TV show in a ski mask to kind of keep his anonymity, and his voice is modulated too. So basically John's first starring television show, he wore a ski mask the entire time and his voice was modulated, so he didn't even know who he was. It just kind of is an indication of the wackiness and absurdity of the type of person that John is. A few housekeeping things, definitely anywhere you could type in thelaughbutton.com. You definitely follow us on the socials and all that kind of good stuff. Go check out the website. A lot of great news going on this week. Really great feature about like children of famous comedians going on there. Some stuff, politics seem to be dominating comedy these days. I feel like every week we're talking about something political. There's a lot of really good, great political stuff happening right now. Stephen Colbert reunited The Daily Show, basically on his show this week. There's a study that just came out about how Donald Trump is the most made fun of president in the history of presidents, and, you know, just in his first 110 days or so like that. So yeah, really some really great stuff. Definitely check out our merch store. Go to laughbutton.com/merch. You can kind of see all that kind of stuff. We got a Ben Bailey show we're presenting in a little while. We're going to have a presence at all the major comedy festivals heading into the summer. So really, really looking forward to all that kind of stuff going on there too. You can read all about it on thelaughbutton.com. So with no further ado, let's kick this interview over to John Glazer in the Riotcast studios with me sitting down talking about Neon Joe Werewolf Hunter.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
All right, I'm here with John Glazer on the Laugh Button Podcast. Matt Kleinschmidt here, the editor-in-chief of the Laugh Button and the host of the Laugh Button Podcast. How you doing, John?
I'm good.
Good?
Yeah.
Nice.
Sweet facility.
Yeah. It's one of those things where you first walk in, you're like, I don't know what to expect because you see these like curtains.
I thought it was the murder room. Oh, it's someone's apartment.
Yeah.
Cool. There, and then it was like, oh, cool stuff here.
I'm going to walk into the murder room and someone's going to attack me. It's almost like when Joe Pesci gets like whacked in Goodfellas. So he walks in, he's like, oh, shit.
Yeah,
like,
right away realizes.
And you're like, damn. So we're here in celebration of Neon Joe Werewolf Hunter.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Season 2.
Yeah, I'm pumped.
Now, did you expect a season 2? Because the show kind of ends. Well, it actually has a natural ending to it.
The season 1, I mean, I guess it felt like it was, we left it open-ended.
Yeah.
In case they wanted to do more, they meaning Adult Swim.
Yeah.
And if they said no, if they were like, "That's we're good," then it was complete as it were,
absolutely.
But it was nice that it was kind of ambiguous and maybe someone, I mean, you know, I don't know any other network that would want to do a,
it's
it was pretty tied down to Adult Swim, I think, with the joke and all that.
But. Yeah, it's a very Adult Swim show.
Yeah.
It's just like, from what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, the history of the show is you basically created this character and Adult Swim said, make that show.
It wasn't even that I created it.
Okay.
It was really, there was not a character.
Okay.
I was on Jimmy Fallon's show, which was at the time the later slot.
Yeah, late night with Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah. And I was promoting Delocated, this other show I did. And
fantastic,
it was the series.
Show.
Thanks. Yeah,
fantastic,
that was
fantastic show.
Also fun. Also kind of open-ended to me where it's like, I still feel like I want to make, it was a perfect spot to end.
Yeah.
I keep pitching them hard on this animated idea that I think would be totally, not even just indulgent.
Yeah.
I mean, aside from being indulgent, just because I want to make more, even though it's a perfect spot to end, it would be an organic idea to the idea. So anyway, but so I was on Fallon promoting the series finale of Delocated, and I just wanted to do something stupid to amuse myself.
Yeah.
You know, just for not, I'm going to go on a talk show and dress in a suit and who cares? It's
exactly.
Just, that's all mostly boring to me.
Yeah.
But so just to amuse myself, I just picked two articles of clothing that I owned that were for live comedy bits.
Yeah.
One was this neon hoodie with a neon hat that I did for like a stupid character whose name was Neon Joe. And it was really a whole lot of nothing. And then another was these pair of Coors Light sweatpants that I found online. And that was for a character named Beer Joe. And that whole premise was just, you know, he was like a Weird Al type guy, but he was always wasted and did these really shitty song parodies about, you know, this was like bro to girls just want to have fun, but it was called bros just want to watch sports, but he's wasted. And then he starts crying in the middle. He does, wants to know if he's a good dad.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's all irrelevant. I put those things together arbitrarily and wore that on Fallon and made a joke that while I was sad about Delocated being over, I was excited about my new project.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Neon Joe Werewolf Hunter, about a guy that wears neon and hunts werewolves. That was all we had at the moment, but we'll figure the rest out.
Yeah.
And it was a joke. And I'm sure some audience members probably thought, oh, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
I guess that's a show. Maybe some people knew it was a joke.
I would imagine people familiar with your brand of comedy were like, oh, this could be a real thing.
Perhaps. I kind of like that it was maybe, who knows? It was hard to figure out.
Yeah.
But Adult Swim, I think they knew it was a joke, but they said, that sounds like a show we'd make, you know, Neon Joe Werewolf Hunter. And they just said, why don't you write a pilot? And I went, all right. I'm not going to say no.
Yeah, of course.
But that's where it came from. So there was nothing. I mean, there was zero.
Yeah.
It was not like a loose idea of a guy. Mm. It was literally nothing. So it was just sitting down and figuring out what could this be? What could the show even be?
Yeah. Like, almost like a dare from Adult Swim.
Kind of. More like calling the bluff.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was more that than we dare you to go on TV and make a joke. It was more, I just did it. And they went, once you do that.
That's incredible.
Which could be, I know my friends and I, we'll joke a lot about, we could come up with some shitty idea for a movie and come up with like the movie poster and could probably sell it, but then you're stuck writing this stupid idea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was kind of that, but at least it was a fun challenge to try to figure it out, and we made it as stupid as possible.
What I love about your brand of humor, and I feel like the thread in all of your brand of humor is just like absurdism, I guess is the word I'm looking for, where it's like, how absurd can this person be? How absurd can this be? How nuts can that be? Like, I don't know if that's intentional, but I feel like you really do like make these characters where it's like, there's just something often absurd about it, but like you love it because there is a little bit of a root in reality to it as well. You could almost see someone make a reality show like Delocated.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, maybe, probably not, but it's at least rooted in, it's rooted in, oh, I could see that, where it's, that was pushed obviously to a real far extreme, but it was also grounded in the reality of people want to be famous and they want to be on TV, which I just find disgusting personally. To seek it out, I think, is just, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. For all the shows it is, they're all, even Neon Joe, as stupid as it is and as arbitrary a place as it came from, once we started figuring out the idea, it was still grounded in the drama.
Yeah.
You know, even in Delocated, we made a joke where the character Sergey, who is the muscly tough guy, says to the Steve Serbus,
who's been in like all of your projects.
He's been in everything.
Yeah, yeah.
He was even, you know, this new season of Neon Joe is a whole new cast.
Okay.
And we went back and forth about that as far as, because the cast we had was so good.
Yeah.
And it's such a, it's just too bad to.
Scott Adsit. Steve Little was in it. Stephanie March, she was in it too. I mean, these are not unknown people that you have. These are legitimate comedic people.
And even some of the people that may not be quote unquote household names, this guy Shuler Hensley, this woman Jane Howdyshell, those are both massively talented Tony Award winning Broadway stage actors, and they're both amazing. And to have them both in the cast was really, really incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
And this woman, Jen Regan. I mean, there were some good, this guy, Stephen Payne, a lot of very good New York character actors.
Yeah.
And it's a shame to, you know, work so hard to put together a good cast, which is not easy, and then just after one season start all over again. But then the flip side of that, or conversely, you get an opportunity to have a whole new group of people that are great, and that's what we got lucky with here. Steve Little does return.
Okay.
He's the only person, although there's one, I don't want to, it's not even a spoiler, it's just more of like a fun thing to figure out, where there is one more person who returns, but in a different capacity. So,
well, you left it at the end of season one. You left it basically, Stephanie, who plays the lead Cybot, she comes out of the crash, and she's basically, the illusion is she's part Cybot, part werewolf.
She's been bit.
she's been bit, and she's both now. So does that start off season two, or are we just like completely different?
No, we ended up leaving that be. You know, there's one of those, again, we talked about maybe having the story pick up from there and go in some weird tangent where we're at least still with that character.
Gotcha.
And we ultimately decided to go to like a whole new town, whole new place, whole new premise, whole new cast.
Gotcha.
There's things that carry over story-wise, like we alluded in the first season to a long-lost love that Joe had, and that's a very prominent storyline in the new season. Steve Little's character joins Joe in his new venture.
Okay.
You know, he opens up his dream, Neon Joe opens up this tropical theme bar, which we see a picture of at the end of the first season.
Yeah, that's right. So,
yeah.
So Steve Little, so you're the next Kenny Powers for Steve Little, because he always has that glom on kind of character to people too.
Yeah, pretty much.
What, you know, one thing.
He's funny as hell, by the way.
Oh, he's hilarious.
Steve's so good in the show, and there's a lot more of him this season.
Oh, that's great. One thing I've always kind of thought about.
Oh, yeah. Fire it up, dude. Let's go. Fire up the chopper.
Get to the chopper. One of the benefits of being in the Lower East Side. Or the Lower West Side?
I was going to say West Village. Westville, man.
Sorry, man. Sorry.
Come on,
dude.
It's been
a long day. So I've always kind of thought Joe, and this is a storyline I'm pitching to you, so feel free to tell me full shit. All
right.
I've always thought that Joe would be a good compliment to like a Dog the Bounty Hunter. going back to the rooted in reality part, like Joe's not too far off from a Dog the Bounty Hunter type of person. Like if Dog needed help bringing in like some bullshit bounty, like you could see him calling his cousin and him showing up and looking kind of like Joe.
Well, I only know that show. I've never seen any.
It's, you're not missing anything, you know.
But he's like kind of an interesting guy, right? Is he a real bounty hunter?
Yeah, he has a very interesting look. He wears like the leather. He's Hawaii. He's from Hawaii, so he's like fully like tan. Oh, wow. He's got like the big like coiffed
long
hair.
Mane.
Yeah, he's got the. So it just I look at that. I'm like, well, there's your reality for it. Like as far as reality TV. So.
It's funny to think about like a element of Neon Joe. Like there was one idea about like a documentary film crew follows him around making it. I mean, I wanted to do a dumb thing in the first season where we see the delocated character, like, in the background leaving a B&B as if he was on his way to New York City, which I thought would have been a funny thing, but yeah, that could be a thing. I mean, it's funny to think about a reality film crew following this character around. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, definitely. And that
I don't want it to be too much like Delocated, though.
Yeah. And then also John Glazer Loves Gear has a reality TV crew following you around, too, Elman.
Yeah.
So maybe that's your thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I like making fake reality shows.
Yeah, exactly. One thing I've always appreciated about your characters too, and this is like you know John from Delocated, and you know John from John Glazer Loves Gear, and Neon Joe is. There's always like a, I don't want to say catchphrase, but there's always like a tick or something about the character. Like with Neon Joe, it's like heel. He does. Did I do that right?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Good. I was practicing it. So there's that, and then John had like you know the bone zone and all those kind of phrases.
And the hurt.
Yeah, and that, and then John from John Glazer has the gear screaming into the microphone.
Yeah, it's funny. So. They're all mono syllabic kind of like right. Jesus Christ.
Telemarketer calling me. That's what that is.
Fucking unprofessional. Right, turn that shit up.
That. Sorry about that.
Do you know Ali Farinakian? He runs that theater, the improv theater, The Pit.
Okay, yeah.
He did this one-man show years ago, and he had a great joke about, he's like, turn your cell phones on. If you need to be, someone's got to reach you so bad, keep be accessible. It was really funny. But yeah, I was thinking about that kind of recently, actually, that it's just... It's not intentional. It just happened to be like the Delocated thing was just that stupid, which is a real just dad thing to do.
Yeah, it is. It's very dad.
And then Neon Joe just came from a thing. Vernon Chapman is one of the writers and one of the producers. We always did this like kind of unintelligible grunt is the name of my production company, quote unquote. But we just always had this. Like it's just a nothing noise. I got a and it just came from fucking around in the office one day.
It's great.
And he called it unintelligible grunt, which made me laugh. And that just seemed like a perfect thing for Neon Joe. So that became that.
And it's something you could see almost like in like a you know, someone putting up like a closed captioning, like unintelligible grunt.
I'd love to see how they spell furt, like or that's how I spell it. F-I-I-D, because even in scripts, we tried to think about how do you spell furt. And I ended up spelling it F-R-R-T, which seemed like furt.
Yeah, that works.
Furt. It's even you're like blowing air through your lips. It's funny to see people like when people online do comments, how they spell it. I always spelled it. Well, how would you spell it?
And H, then I'll... a bunch of R's, M-P-H.
I never imagined any R's in there. I always spelled it H-E hyphen Y-U-M-P. Heomp.
Okay.
Heomp.
Okay.
Oh, heomp. I mean, it's stupid. It's a good...
I know, but you do it. It still makes me laugh every time.
It's so dumb, but it's so fun to do. And it's funny because even when we're writing or when we're shooting, there's always a moment of, I mean, I don't know, just have them say heomp.
it's your version of Kenan Reacts, which SNL has, where it's like, oh, we're stuck in a sketch. Just Kenan Thompson reacts.
Cut to him. Yeah,
cut to him. So that's great. So now, do you have those moments on? I can't imagine you taping an episode of the show and not having people just lose it every time that they're doing like a take of just like you coming in. Because like everyone else is kind of normal. And then you come in and then it's like, do people just lose their minds and lose their shit every time? Or is it very professional?
It's a little of both. I mean, the show is so aggressively stupid, but we're treating it so dramatically.
Yeah,
you know, we're almost... You know, one of the things the head of Adult Swim liked about it is that it's like a soap opera, and it is got this, you know, melodrama to it, which is really fun as a actor and even as a comedy person to play that. And it's just, there's definitely times where it's just so heavily, just obnoxiously dumb that we'll just start laughing because it's just, this is just ridiculous and we're taking it so seriously, but it's really fun. Yeah. but it happens a lot. But it's mostly just because we just can't believe how stupid it
is. Yeah, I can't. I mean, and this is, I have no formal training in any of this. So, like, I can't imagine me doing a take and you walking in character and just not, just like, just kind of like shaking and just getting the rumbles from just again, just the ridiculousness of like, okay, this is what I'm witnessing. And is it a Cajun accent you're trying to pull off?
It's really, even we, there's a line in this season where somebody like addresses it, and it's really, it's kind of, it's like, to me, it's like a Cajun Southern something.
Okay.
It's not, again, and it's all just, that seems funny. I didn't want to do a straight voice. I didn't want to just talk normally. It just didn't seem interesting for the character. The character to me had to be dynamic and stupid and to have some sort of interest level to who is this guy, an element of mystery. And there's no rhyme or reason, at least right now, why he's got that voice. Maybe it's fake, who knows? But that's what the voice is. And it just seemed funny. It seemed like a good choice. One, but yeah, is it Cajun? Is it Southern? this is from the pilot when we shot the pilot.
Okay.
The majority of which did not end up on air. Mm-hmm. We reshot most of the pilot for the first episode of the first season, but a really funny story that ties into that.
Okay.
Is we had like 50 extras on set one day. It was in this gymnasium in the town. They're having like a big carnival at the town high school gym. And during the lunch break or after we were done, we're in this holding in some church, and there's all the extras are there. And this old lady comes up to me. She was part of the audience. And she says, I just love your accent. It's so spot on, whatever it is. Which really just to me totally summed up the accent, which absolutely. Is like, yeah, I don't know what it is either, but thanks. It was really funny.
Oh, that's great. That's so great. There's gotta be some great stories like that of just like, you know, just people just like loving what you do. And you have a great body of work too. I mean, like I'm not just talking about this show, but you know, Delocated, you have John Glazer Loves Gear. And then, you know, obviously you've done stand-up for how many years at this point?
I mean, I perform. I don't do traditional stand-up. Like, I don't do stand-up clubs like Comedy Cellars downstairs. Yeah. I don't do those, and I don't tour. Mm-hmm. I'll do more just, I hate the word alternative comedy, but more just non-traditional rooms like the Bell House in New York and Union Hall. But, I mean, I've been performing since the early 90s. I mean, as far as doing Second City and Improv Olympic in Chicago, and then moving here and doing live shows like Luna Lounge and places like that. So for a while.
It seems like the inspiration for a lot of your shows or a lot of your projects, it stems from like something you did in real life. Like from what I understand, John Glazer's Gear stemmed from you talking about a raincoat on stage for 20 minutes, something like that. Some crazy period of time.
Yeah.
And like, is that just how you think of ideas, or is there like any thought to it? Like, I know some comics, they'll sit down, I'm going to write for so many hours and figure out this. Some comics write on stage. Some comics, the idea comes to them when they're walking down the street. Like, is there a process anywhere in that?
Not necessarily, I guess, unless the process is just kind of, there's really no rhyme or reason. Yeah. I don't necessarily sit down and try to think of ideas. It's maybe a little more of that once the idea that I want to focus on, then I'll sit down. But usually it's just inspired by, you know, walking down the street, see something, hear something, watching TV, or, you know, Gear was, you know, for example, was just, I had the idea to talk about my raincoat on stage, which stemmed from, I don't have an idea for tonight. maybe, you know, I'll talk about my raincoat. That just seems funny. And then just open it up to a Q&A. Just, I like going on stage and not being very well planned, but I don't mind doing that. To me, it can be kind of fun, and if it bombs, I don't care.
There's some beauty in that, too.
I enjoy that.
Yeah.
Some people don't like to do that. I don't mind doing that. And then it might get honed and crafted and changed from the next few times I do it. Like, oh, that seemed like a funny moment, but I try to keep that particular bit fairly spontaneous once it's genuinely talking about the jacket. There's no jokes there. No. It seems to ride this, you know, waves of people laughing at it because they're not sure. And then there's a spontaneous, you know, Q&A with the audience. You know, it's got to be about the jacket. So, but that's like where Gear came from, for example, where that was just a small, dumb idea that I liked doing. Mm-hmm. And I thought that could be a funny segment in a bigger thing, whether that was a sketch show or a variety-ish show or something else. And then the more I thought about it, it became a bigger idea.
It became a hook of the show. Because the first time I saw it, the first time my coworker saw it, like we were kind of obsessed with it for a couple weeks of just yelling gear back and forth to each other. And I actually grabbed a snippet from a commercial and recorded on my phone and sent it to friends and sent it to people. So it's unbelievable how these little things just kind of become a thing, and gear and all that kind of
it's
stuff.
It's pretty weird, and it's not even
weird. Yeah.
Well, even that, it wasn't even it wasn't an intentional, like, let's come up with the catchphrase. Yeah, it just seemed like a funny part of these characters. Gear, it just seemed like a really, you know, obnoxious thing to yell that the character thinks is like, it just embodies just, yeah, all right, you know, but it's, yeah, people, and it's funny because some people just fucking hate it. I mean, I think what happened with, you know, and I don't spend time a lot. I don't go out of my way to go on Facebook and read the comments, but when I'm there posting something, I love it. Even the ones that are super negative, they're so entertaining to read.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, people love it, hate it, whatever. But some of them are hilarious, and they get so fucking mad. Like, fuck this stupid show and yelling gear. I got to turn my TV off. It's just, all right, it's not for you, but that kills me, man. Oh my God, it's so funny.
It's that, I also think, paired with the visual of you just turning your head sideways and there's a megaphone appearing.
Yeah, it's so damn.
It's like, it's silly, but so funny in its silliness. So I as someone that watches all of your shows, that's what I appreciate a lot too. And now the other thing I also have always thought that, like, oh, if I ever get a chance to talk to John Glazer, I want to ask him this question. Is like, do you feel like you can own the phrase bone zone at this point?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, I can only imagine.
I don't remember it before Delocated, but I know it afterwards. So I feel like you created that.
I can only imagine that was said at some point. Like, that to me is another example of, here's this guy that thinks he's being super funny. Like, Delocated was enjoyable.
It was a big dad joke. It was a
dad joke. Yeah, it's all just, here's a dad that thinks he's hilarious.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't remember it. And I was talking to somebody earlier. Like, I don't know what New Jersey looked like pre-1998 when The Sopranos came out. Because half of New Jersey just became Sopranoville. Like, and like the fonts used for anything, for posters or whatever. But like, I don't remember the time pre-delocated where the word the bone zone was used. I don't know.
Maybe not. I don't know. It was something, even when we did it, I don't think we ever, you know, with comedy stuff, when you're writing a show, you want to be pretty good about, like, has that ever been done before, and look it up, and nothing ever came up that, oh, someone else said bone zone.
Yeah.
But I can only imagine that some dad somewhere went, oh man, bone zone. I don't know though, it could be wrong, but it seems like that. I cannot imagine that was the first time those two words were uttered in a row.
I can't either. I was just trying to think about this the other day. It's like you know, there's got to be some Urban Dictionary entry that has, like, coined by John Glazer.
If I could have profited off it, that would have been the best.
Yeah,
if my kids could have gone through college. If Bone Zone paid for my kids to go to school.
That's your get her done.
Yeah. Oh, God. Shit, man. Hey, whatever pays the bills. Fuck.
Yeah. So we have you for a few more minutes here. But so what can people expect in season two of Neon Joe? Like, is it, what can you reveal before it premieres?
It is, you know, touched upon this before. It's a whole new cast.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the people in it are, Steve Little's the only returning cast member.
Yep, we touched upon that.
Although, as I said, there's one returning cast member, but in a different capacity. So you'll have to kind of figure out what that is. The new cast is this guy named Eduardo Ballerini.
Okay.
He's a New York actor. He's phenomenal. Comedian Godfrey.
Oh, nice.
He's in the new season.
Godfrey, yep.
He's great, man. He's, you know,
high energy.
But he plays the drama really great.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's, like, I wasn't sure. I didn't know him that well as a comedian or a person. And when he came in, and he just nailed it. He was really good. But everybody's great in the show. This woman, Shannon O'Neill, she's a UCB performer, and she's excellent.
She, I want to say she, yeah.
She's part of Chris Gethard's show.
Chris Gethard's crew, yeah.
This actor, they're all actors. Chance Kelly, who's another, mostly a dramatic background. Tall, real tough, imposing guy, you know, real, like, New York cop, tough guy vibe. He did a small bit in Delocated. He played one of the bodyguards that, you know, that my ex-wife falls in love with. And he's a really talented guy, and he plays a military. He plays a member of the military. Eduardo plays. Well, I don't want to give too much away.
Okay, we can. I don't want you to feel like you have to give much away. I'm just wondering. Like, does Joe start hunting vampires? Does he start hunting?
No, there's still werewolves. Still werewolves. It does start. Where he has, you know, as alluded to at the end of season one, he's out of the game. He's retired from werewolf hunting. He achieved his goal, which was to kill his dad. Yep. Sorry if that's a spoiler alert if you haven't seen the first season.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's been out for a while. So
he's done that, and he's trying to figure out what to do with his life. Okay. And he opens up this tropical bar that he alludes to in the first season. So that's where the second season starts.
Okay.
In his new bar, he's brought Cleve with him to help him run it. And then these met people from his past show up and shit changes and
bring him back into the game,
forces him to confront his demons, including this old love of his that maybe had perished. And, you know, we find out that happened, which I think we allude to in the first season. And if not, there it is. So, but it's a pretty, you know, it's a cool plot point, and it all revolves around that. I just want to make sure I'm not forgetting any of the other main cast. Oh, and then there's a guy named Alex Shacklin who plays a former Russian cosmonaut who's a barfly at the bar.
Gotcha.
Who becomes a big part of the story.
Gotcha. And Adult Swim just said, have at it, do whatever you want.
Pretty much. They liked the first season enough to do a second.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great. And we just, you know, came up with this totally new idea. There was no mandate about do the old characters, you know. We just proposed, here's the overall idea, and they said sounds good, and we wrote up outlines and scripts, and I mean, it was really fun as hell. It's a fun show to make. The shoot was great. I'm trying to think of what else I can say about it.
I would imagine that Adult Swim, and this is just totally of an outsider looking in, I feel like Adult Swim sits around all day, smoke a lot of pot, eat some mushrooms, and just be like, man, what's funny? Like, let's just put that on the air. I feel like, I'm obviously, that's not the way they operate, but I feel like that's...
Maybe it is.
But I wouldn't be...
Yeah, it's run by teens.
If you came to me and said, dude, this is how Adult Swim greenlights shows, like, I would be like, yeah, of course that's how they greenlight shows, because some of the stuff they put on the air only can come from an altered mind of some sort.
They're just, you know, the guy that runs it is just, he's a, you know, I was going to say professional weirdo, but it's not. He's just a really smart, interesting guy likes weird stuff.
That's great.
And, you know, it's great that the network exists and gives a home to these weird ideas, whether they're animated or live action. Mm-hmm. It's great to make a show for them. They'll just let you almost do whatever. You know, the weirder, the better with them. It's, if anything, that's just always what it is. Just how can this be more interesting and stranger? So creatively, it's pretty great to make a show there.
That's fantastic. So I mean, so where are we? Do you have the next idea? Or are you just kind of focusing on Neo and Joe at this point, or do you already have like 30 different ideas you want to make happen?
Well, we're waiting to hear about John Glazer Loves Gear as far as making a second season. You know, it's kind of sounding good, but it's not official yet. So, you know, I'll never feel like it's happening until I hear 100% official and here's the paperwork and it's signed.
Gotcha.
But it all sounds really promising right now. And I hope I get to make more, because that was also really fun to make. And that was for True TV, and they were also great. Like, I didn't know what to expect, quite honestly.
Yeah.
Meeting with them, it felt like, I don't know these guys. They're very well in their shows, and we'll see. But I just really liked the people that I pitched it to. And
oh, that's great.
They just seemed smart and cool, and they got the idea, even though it was pretty vague when I pitched it. And then it just kept changing, and creatively, they were great to work with. I mean, that's another ridiculous show, and that's because they allowed it to be so.
You do seem to align yourself with people that kind of let you do what you want to do. The lesser term would be like letting the freak flag fly, but like, you do seem to align yourself with like, hey, there's this weird idea, I'm going to pitch it to you, and these people say, yes, go do that. And it seems like that's a really awesome way to kind of walk through a career.
If you're lucky enough, for sure. Otherwise, you should always try to do that. I mean, you're always going to make compromises, and if you're going to make certain creative compromises, hopefully you're getting paid a ton of money. You know, I've been lucky to kind of, I mean, if, you know, I'm not making like, if I'd made a show for a primetime network, that's crazy money. No complaints. I'm getting to do what I want to do, and because it's my show.
It also seems like you can bring all of your friends along too. Like,
well, that's a big part of it is, you know, and a big part of it is working with these guys, like Vernon Chapman, I mentioned his name earlier. Vernon and this guy, John Lee, and this woman, Allison Levy, they're a group called PFFR. And they make their own shows. You know the show Wonder Showsen?
Yes.
They made Wonder Showsen.
Okay.
They made Xavier Renegade Angel.
Okay.
And The Heart She Holler, which were both Adult Swim shows.
Delightfully weird shows.
Oh, yeah.
All of
they
them,
are
yes.
brilliant, mm-hmm. brilliant people. And I hired them as the production company on Delocated.
Okay.
Because they had just started to do that.
Okay.
And so they're heavily involved. Like me and John and Vernon do all the writing together on all the shows.
Okay.
So just to be able to collaborate with like-minded, shared sensibility, weird senses of humor, I mean, it just makes it even stronger. Mm-hmm. So... Excuse you. But yeah, no. That all, yeah, it all helps and it all makes it 100% worth it. I mean, mm-hmm. it's really, I'm super fortunate
to
get to keep making my own thing and live in New York. And
Sounds like you're living kind of like your dream. I don't know if there's, like, what else can you check off the box? You know, well, like, you know, you do late night, you do your own shows, you do, like, what kind of gets you up and you're like, I got to do this before I die or something like that.
I think it's, I'm always hesitant to say, yeah, man, I'm living the dream. It always makes me think about that scene in Broadcast News where William Hurt says, his character says to Albert Brooks, like, what do you do when all your dreams come true? I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact line, something like that. And Albert Brooks just says, keep it to yourself. And it's just so fucking funny.
Yeah.
So I always feel weird when I'm talking about how lucky I am, but I do feel like I've just been extremely fortunate, but it's because of a lot of people's involvement, mm-hmm. whether it's my friends who I work with or the networks letting us do this. So listen, I hope I can keep doing it, whether it's my own thing or even the shows that I've been hired to be in, you know, like Girls in Parks and Rec and Amy Schumer's show, like also creatively satisfying experiences as just a hired gun. You don't always get to do that.
Yeah.
So I just hope I get to keep doing things like that.
I mean, and some of your moments on
the I'll still cash in, though, if anyone wants to, like, there's a weirdo billionaire out there that's like, yeah, do this and here's a lot of money or whatever. Don't get me wrong, I'm not above it.
Send me an email with all of your ideas. Yeah. I'll greenlight them all.
But yeah, I've been very fortunate.
Yeah, you absolutely, and even you mentioned Parks and Rec, you mentioned Amy Schumer, and you mentioned Girls. It's those shows, you even, it seems like you're almost like you're doing your own brand of comedy within those shows too. Like you were delightfully odd in Parks and Rec. You were delightfully odd in Girls. I don't know if that's an insult, me calling you delightfully odd, but
that's like, all right.
But like,
doesn't sound like it.
No, but you were.
I'm not offended.
You basically were John Glazer in those shows, and you had that John Glazer sensibility. Like, that's got to be an incredible thing for someone to go, yeah, just go do this. And
oh man, it's so fortunate. Those were two shows run by very smart people that, you know, were collaborative by nature and allowed that to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. You know, the vast majority of what you see is going to be scripted. The writing's already extremely strong on both those shows, but there's always going to be room for improvising and ad-libbing, and they were open to it and I think smart enough to let good people, not just myself, do that. So it doesn't always make it to the screen or the final product, but I hate saying product, but for the final version or whatever. But yeah, it was cool to get to do both of those things.
Yeah, I mean, it's gotta be, it's also one of the things that I enjoy as someone that follows comedy. I'm like, oh, there's John Glazer. Oh, I gotta see what he's doing. It's like, oh, he's just being Leslie Knope's foil for a couple episodes. That's great. So it's fun to see that too, because as someone that follows comedy, it's fun to see good people pop up in different spots too. So.
Well, even like when I walked in here and saw the things with Robert, like,
yeah.
I didn't know Robert terribly well when we cast him, and he did a really small thing in John Glazer Loves Gear. I don't know if you saw that episode.
Yes, I did.
Tiny thing, but it was, and I almost felt like weird asking him, like, will you do the small thing? Because he's so funny.
Yeah.
But
he loves tech and gear too, so it was probably right up his alley.
Well, he was hilarious. As you know, and you know, we just let him kind of, I don't know how much ad-lib stuff made it in, but I think some did. It was just, it's cool when you get to ask people that you think are great to do your thing, and you know, the opposite is we're gonna let them do their thing.
They're
really funny and they're gonna make it funnier.
But that's a great, you touched on a great point, and I'll maybe end on this, is there's a lot of great comedians in the New York City area in particular that are getting great opportunities, and they're bringing all their friends along. Like Amy Schumer in Trainwreck, it's literally every comic in New York City that works at the Cellar that's kind of helped her out is in you know, that show, that movie, whether it be for 10 seconds or like actually has a role in it. So it's good to see that, like you with Delocated, it's like oh, there's Eugene Merman, oh, there's Todd Barry, there's all these guys too. It's gotta be really good to be able to have a platform where you kind of bring your friends along too.
It's one of the best things for sure. Getting to work with your friends, You know, it should be the one of the number one things you can get to do.
Yeah.
It just makes it so much more enjoyable, quite honestly. And it's, you know, you're always going to have jobs that are just jobs and you got to take them and it's money and that's fine. But mm-hmm. if it's with your friends, it's just so satisfying in so many levels. Mm-hmm. And even that is something like, I'm so happy that I get to hire my friends. Like yeah. Scott Adsett, I've known for years. Mm-hmm. We did improv in Chicago. And,
yeah.
You know, Brian Stack, one of the funniest guys I know. Again, you know, same with Adsett, but he did a thing on Neon Joe season 2. He did a voice for a character. And just getting to, and Miriam Tolan,
yeah, yeah.
who's Brian's wife, and she's, you know, and John Glazer loves gear. And, you know, it's the best.
Yeah,
it just,
yeah.
it makes it even more fun and even more
rewarding.
Fortunate.
Yeah, rewarding.
It's part of what makes it so...
Well, it also shows a template or a path that others should follow as well. It's like, hey, listen, if you get a break, bring as many people as you possibly can through the door with you, because it'll just be that much more rewarding for comedy in general too. So.
And then even for future shows, and we yeah. went back and forth a lot. Like even with Cerbus, it was yeah. for Neon Joe, the season 1. It was, well, maybe we should cast someone else just so it's not all the delocated people.
Yeah.
And in the end, it just felt like, no, he's going to be the best guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, you see it all the time in TV and film. Directors work with the same people
oh,
for
yeah.
a reason, because you just work well. When you work very well with someone, you want to keep doing it. And ultimately, it does not matter that they're in everything. It doesn't matter that De Niro is in all of Scorsese's
yeah,
movies, because
yeah,
he's
Leo
so
DiCaprio
good. Yeah,
stuff,
they're
yeah.
all good, and they're going to play different roles, and you can separate that. Mm-hmm. And that's ultimately more important, that you want them to be the right person for the role, and usually they are. Like, mm-hmm. Serpis was the right guy for Sheriff.
Yeah.
And he was the right guy to play my spurt. Assistant.
Yeah.
And my spurt.
Your spurt.
And so it's just, I'm glad it works out that way, because it just makes it more satisfying.
That's great. Yeah. Well, one on that, I want to thank you for coming on this podcast. I'm
yeah,
super
man.
Excited to have you on there.
Thanks for having me.
I'm a fan of your work. I love Delocated. Love John Glazer. Love Gear. Love Neon Joe Werewolf Hunter. So happy there's a second season coming. And it premieres on Adult Swim May 22nd.
May 22nd at midnight. And then it airs on consecutive nights that
oh, really?
Week.
So that I didn't know. Oh, that's great to know.
Yeah, it's Monday, because there's only 5 episodes. They
yes.
ended up doing it as a mini series, is
okay.
how they're framing it and what
yeah,
they're
yeah.
calling it. So it'll air Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of that week.
Oh, that's great.
And then I think it'll rerun once a week. I'm not sure when yet. It's either the following Sunday. You can check listings, but it will rerun once a week for 5 weeks.
It's a great binge watch then.
Yeah, man. Well, it's not. Honestly, it was
how everyone's consuming TV shows these days, too.
It's cool. Also, I like that it airs like that. It's
yeah.
It almost makes it like a quote-unquote event, and
yes,
it's kind of cool and something to look forward to, that it's every night, and then it's done.
Yeah.
But I kind of like that. It's kind of cool to do it like that. It's nice to do both and get to
yeah.
make more shows that are spread out over time. But this was also nice.
That's great. So, John Glazer, thank you very much for coming on this podcast. Best of luck with Neon Joe and future events and future
thank
shows.
You.
So,
thank you very much.
Right.
My pleasure. Yeah, thanks,
right.
man.
Okay, bye. And that'll do it for our interview with John Glazer. Super nice, super sweet dude. Really excited about having him on the podcast. It was one of the... he was one of the first guys I was like, oh, we got to get him on the podcast and talk about stuff too. And it kind of took every ounce of my being to not scream gear about 17 times when he was talking to me. So I hope you liked that interview with John Glazer. Go to laughbutton.com, check out everything. Go to riotcast.com. Download us wherever you download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts. We're also literally everywhere you can get a podcast, including Apple Podcasts. Check us all out there. And go to laughbutton.com, follow us on the socials. If you want to, shoot us an email at podcast@thelaughbutton.com with some feedback. Let us know what you like. Let us know what you don't like. We got a lot of really great feedback from our Chris Gethard episode last week, which is a really good one. If you haven't checked it out, definitely make it a point to listen to that one. We talk about mental health and about his one-man show, career suicide, and all that kind of stuff. We dive really into it. Got some great feedback about that episode. So, yeah, you can always go check the archives on the laughbutton.com or anywhere you get podcasts. And until next time, we'll see you later. Thanks. Bye.